This episode, I bring Ronnie Poulin to the round table, another South Carolina kayak catfish angler and Jesse O'Neill's river rival. And we have fun cutting it up about everything from catfishing, snapping turtles, shark fishing, being chased by a gator, and his sweet orange rod rack set up with color swirled fish bite rod holders on the back. Hope everyone enjoys this conversation as much as I did.
What's up, Ronnie? How you doing tonight?
Good, man. Just getting ready for this tournament in the morning.
Oh, yeah? You starting it? Is it a new tournament, or is you just going back out fishing for the month-long you got going on?
So, Jesse's got the Carolina Kayak Catfish Slayers, just the South Carolina Trail Series. We got a tournament in the morning at Lake Watery.
Okay, yeah, that's right. He was mentioning that last night. You able to double up on those then and be able to submit both cats if you catch a good one to upgrade? Because I know you're sitting pretty well right now on your month-long with the Fishing Unleashed one.
Well, if I do, hopefully I'll catch the upgrade. But Lake Watery, I don't know, man. That's a tough place.
Yeah.
We'll see, though.
Well, I would say it's going to be – you already got a pretty good bag with your – you know, I see in the smallest cat you got right now is 34 and a quarter. So
I did some – day. I caught a so I went out there and pre-fished today. I caught 2 36s, a 37 and a half, and I caught a 40 incher out there. So
oh
that massive soft shell turtle.
Yeah, I saw that too. You said the ninja turtle, that was funny.
Yeah, that was massive.
Before we get too far on into this, you want to take a second and introduce yourself and, you know, give a little bit of background, let people know where you are and, you know, where you came from, you know, how you grew up, stuff like that.
Yeah, man, I'm just from a small town in South Carolina called Great Falls, right off the Catawba River. We got Lake Watery, we got Fishing Creek, we got Great Falls Reservoir, all in my little area I got near my house. I've been kayak fishing probably, I don't know, 16, 17 years. I've been catfishing my whole life. So 2019, I started trophy catfishing. We started doing these Southeastern tournaments. It was a boat, little boat club, and we was doing a Lake Wiley tournament. And I think it was a week before I seen YouTube, Justin Johnson. He did a end of the year tournament. I was like, all right, I need to get into this. I always kayak. So I was like, you know, I want to try this on, you know, trophy catfishing. So I switched my bait up and all that good stuff. So started trophy catfishing in 2019. Been doing it since.
Right on, man. Right on. What clubs and organizations or trails that you fish? I know we talked about the Fishing Unleashed one and that you're talking about going to fish Jesse's one that he's hosting tomorrow down there at Watery. What other trails do you like to fish in?
I don't really fish any other trails. You know, I used to do the TCKA, the online. I was doing the online catfishing tournaments, Kayak Mikes. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting rid of Big Fish. I was going to do so last year, you know, I was set for that King Cat, whatever they call it. You know, I had it. I was like, my buddy was doing good. He wanted it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to step back and let you go for it. And he just kind of like threw in the boot at the end of the tournament. So kind of sucked. You know, I could have had that, but, you know, I let Mr. Bortz have that.
just let him have that one, huh?
No, I did. I like.
You was feeling generous, huh?
Yeah. But the online catfishing tournaments, they were fun, but it just, you know, the big fish went out. I don't really care for catching small fish, so it's kind of faded away from that.
You're saying like the month long's having the slot limit or whatever?
Yeah, I'm not really into all that.
Okay. I see on you always have that sign on your kayak there. That is it the how do you say it? The Catawba or what is it?
Catawba.
Catawba? Oh, that's just how they spell the Catawba.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's not like a club or anything that you're fishing in or anything like that. That's just
my area. You know, Catawba River is right behind my house. So okay. It's just
so are you making that apparel or you find that somewhere?
No, so about 3 or 4 years ago, I wanted a tournament name. I was like, you know what? I'm right here on the Catawba, so I'm just gonna come up with my own little thing. I made some hats, I sold them, but I don't know, it's just the branding thing. I just didn't get into it.
Okay. I just noticed it, on the background of your pictures a lot and stuff like that. So I was just kind of curious where it came from, what it meant and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like something to show me.
Yeah, no, yeah, what represents you for
Yeah.
sure. It's pretty cool too, 'cause you have a very like, I don't know if you would say like artistic setup, but everything, you have a pretty sweet like color scheme going on throughout the whole rigging and everything like that. I think it's pretty sweet. And you have that, rod rack in the back, and I love them fish bite rod holders. I run fish bite myself, but I just got the black ones. So
Hey, it took years for all
yeah,
that,
it all builds up slowly, but I think you got a pretty neat looking rig, man.
Can't beat the new canoe.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about what rig you're in a little bit?
So right now, I've been in the so a while back, I was in the Jackson Bite, right? So my buddy, he lives up in Catawba too, and I seen it on Facebook Marketplace. He was trying to sell it. He had that and a flint. I was like, "Look, I got the Jackson FD." I was like, "Do you want it? I'll trade you." He's like, "Yeah, man, I'll give you both of them." I was like, "All
And
right."
that's the F12, right? That's not the unlimited.
No, it's just the F12. It's a 2019 model.
Well, it's not just the F12, it's the F12, man. I think they're real close. I don't think that one would necessarily say, there's arguments for, pluses and negatives from each of them. But I'm personally in the unlimited right now, and I had a couple buddies that were in an F12, and Justin's actually upgraded to the unlimited coming up here this weekend. So, but I think side by side they're really close, man. There's some few.
You
What's
gotta
that?
have that. I like that hatch.
Oh yeah, you like the hatch in the front, really?
Add that storage space.
Yeah, without having to pay for the extra pod,
Yeah.
everything like that, and that's one way to have it, But personally, I like having the extra, like, I don't know exactly what the hatch measures on the F12 or whatever, but I know the unlimited, it's 6 inches longer, and then I don't have the hatch in the front, so I get like almost an extra foot and a half of deck space to play with there.
Right.
Yeah, and I like the I know you run tandem sometimes. With your old lady, Tina, right?
Yeah, pretty much 80% of my fishing, it's me and her.
Yeah, and see, it's pretty nice to have that front deck running with the tandem, because when I got the unlimited, it was so that I could take out my fiance a little bit more this season. So having that extra deck space is pretty nice up there in the front.
Yeah.
So other than the Jackson and the new canoe, what other kayaks have you been in?
So I Long, very long time ago, I started out, and I guess it would be considered a touring kayak. It was like a, I still got it. It's in my basement right now. It's a River Stream. I mean,
Okay.
that thing's probably like 15 inches wide, dude.
Right.
I used to just go out. We had a spot at Lake Watery. You can go out there and catch 100 channel cats in like 3 hours.
Nice.
And there with like a youth model ugly stick and a little tub of worms. And I would tear the channel cats up.
Just wear them out.
Started out in that, with that little crappy kayak, a year or so doing that, it just kind of like gave me the balance and stuff. Then we got a Tarpon 120 after that. We still have it. Like when they first started to come out, back when KBF was a big thing, we got that. Then we got the Perception 120. It's kind of like the knockoff version of it. We still have that also. Ended up from that, we went to a Feel Free Lure 13.5. That
Okay.
was a great, it was a tank, the thing was heavy,
Yeah.
super heavy. So we got a Hobie Outback, we got the Compass, the Bite. I had 2 Bite FDs. I've been in a big rig. That thing, those are nice. Not enough deck space, but it's a tank. After the Bite FD, I went to the new canoe, and I don't think I'm going anything else. I mean, I'll get in my native. I have a native, the Slayer 12. I'll go catch some bass or whatever out of it when I feel like. But I ended up selling the Flint. I did not like the Flint at all.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
the Flint was horrible. At least for me, I'm like 240. I'm not a
I was
guy
gonna say,
trying.
what were the downsides to it? What didn't you like about it?
Well, I think the problem with it, we had the 360 seat on it. I don't think they're supposed to have it.
Okay.
So it was tippy, and it was a high seat on it. So it was just real tippy. So every time I'd like paddle, I'd feel like I'm about to flip.
Well, and especially when you get used to having that, luxury of the stability of the F12 there.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that being a little bit of a struggle to kind of transition back and forth because you can get too comfortable, and then it being the exact same seat, you might even forget, I feel like you're in your F12 and
Yeah.
there you go, right in the drink.
Dude, I swear that thing's like a boat, man. It's you can do anything on it.
I know, I love it. I had always wanted the F12, and then the year I finally saved up enough money to upgrade my kayak, because I fished out of a 10 foot sit, 10.5 foot sit inside Perception for like 5 years, my first 5 years of catfishing, kayak catfishing, and I it was fun, man. I loved it because it was light and I could throw and go in that thing so fast, so good. And I spent some good time in that kayak and put some good miles on it. I even slept in that thing a couple times. So it was, I put that thing through some adventures for sure. And some decent fish, nothing amazing in that kayak, but it was still a lot of fun. I think the biggest one was like close to 30-ish pounds, like maybe high 20s, close to 30 pounds roughly.
Nice.
So I mean, I had a lot of fun in that 10 and a half foot sit inside kayak for several years, and it got me on the water, so that's what counted. But when I
Oh,
finally had saved up to buy the F12, that was the year that they released the Unlimited, and I'm talking like 2 weeks before I was literally about to buy the F12, they were like, hold up, we got something coming out. And I was like, oh no. So I waited, and of course that was the route I went.
yeah.
So I love the new canoe. I've been a fan of the new canoe stuff, and I did a lot of research before I bought all the stuff. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of dealers here down in Nebraska, for a lot of different kayaks. I mean, we basically have Dick's Sporting Goods and Cabela's, and they don't do really any sort of demo day. So unless you join a club and meet some people to paddle some different kind of kayaks. And at the time when I first started getting into it, I didn't really know about any of this stuff at all.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have had a clue, but I just was, doing all my research online. But over the years and everything, I checked out, I had a buddy that ended up buying one of the Feel Free, one of the biggest, I think the nicest one they have. I don't know if that's the lure or not, the most expensive Feel Free that they have. It has like an eight ball rudder thing on it and everything. Like, I don't know. That thing is a tank though, like you're saying, super heavy and everything like that. So I got to check that out. I got to check out a Vibe 130 before I bought the F12. I got to check out an Ascend. And then my other buddy ended up buying an F12 before I ended up getting into New Canoe. And I knew right away when I saw that I was going to New Canoe. So.
They're just light, for a massive kind of what they are. I can pick it up over my head if I need to,
Well, and also, I think all the things that you get in that kayak, like you get the same stuff out of a higher end kayak that you can get in a new canoe, but at an affordable price, And don't get me wrong, new canoe has its, there's a few small minor details that they could work out to be a little bit better and everything like that, but that's how they're keeping their price point down. So the things that people completely, bash on and complain about, they have to keep in mind that that's how they're keeping this kayak affordable for everybody. So, but
Just for,
otherwise,
dude, it's just like, if I'm a bass guy, I wouldn't choose the F12 or the Unlimited or something. But, for a catfishing machine, I mean, it's on spot.
yeah, man. Well, like I said, I mean, I don't think necessarily any kayak is a bad kayak. I think that it has its place for its situation for the person, you know what I mean? Like, everybody has a different what they want out of the kayak and a different situation that they're gonna put it in. So I don't think it, you know, just because, like you're saying, the Flint didn't work out for you, it's just because it wasn't for your needs and situation, what you needed out of the kayak and the situations you were putting it in. The Flint just wasn't for you. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be a great kayak for somebody else to jump into. So,
Oh yeah, it's still a good kayak. It's just not, I don't think it's big boy rated though.
well,
And they did good with it.
yeah. Well, so it sounds like you have a lot of experience in a lot of different types of kayaks. So that's pretty cool, man. Long, so 16 years kayak fishing and out of many, many different vessels. So you have a lot of different, you know, points of views to bring to the table, you know?
Give or take, yeah.
He said, give or take.
You know, if I had 50 grand to blow on a boat, you know, that'd be a different story, but you know, I'll keep it with the kayaks.
Yeah. Well, plus I think you get something out of kayak fishing that you can't really get out of boat fishing. So,
Oh yeah.
but I'm the same with you, man. I was. It's also a lot more about the affordability of the situation and the maintenance and the upkeep. So I don't know that I'd. I guess I admit it might. I might be thinking a little bit different if I had the money in my pocket, but I definitely don't have the money in my pocket, and so I ain't really worried about it. But what's your favorite catfish species to target then?
You know, if I can pull them in like the blues, I would definitely say flatheads.
Yeah.
Hands.
The flatheads. What makes them your favorite?
You know, it's just that bite, like, you know, the flathead bite here. I'm sure it's like that everywhere, but you know, you get that slow takedown and it just rips off. A blues have, you know, majority of the time it's just really aggressive. They just smack it and they're gone. You know, I
Yeah.
run bait most of the time, so it's a little different for me. But I
You
don't know.
said
I
you
just,
run bait clickers most of the time?
yeah. So I switched up actually this year. You know, last year I was doing good, but I was also doing horrible. You know, I was missing a lot of fish, breaking off a lot of fish. So I went up. I upgraded my line 10 pounds. I'm using like 40 pound now with a 85 pound leader. So ever since I made that switch, you know, my hook ratio is going up. So I'm doing a little bit better than I was last year.
Are you a mono or braid guy?
Mono. Now I use braids and salt water, but you know, for the catfish, I fish around like a lot of rocks and stuff. So I don't really like messing with braid too much.
Yeah. Well, if I'm not asking for too much of the juice, what's your favorite bait to use when targeting the flathead then?
Oh boy.
If you don't want to share your secret bait, that's okay, but
I'm
you
gonna
know.
say for big blues, I'm gonna definitely say carp. Just like today, 15 fish, all off a big carp. I mean, I can throw a carp out within 5 minutes, I got a bite versus a gizzard shad or whatever, you know, between 30 minutes to an hour for a bite. So definitely have to be the carp. So
You running some cut bait pieces then, or?
I'll do a on the carp, I'll do a big fillet, then I'll cut it in big chunks with a fillet pieced off. I'll
Okay.
do it that way. Sometimes I like putting that massive head on and just throw it out for giggles, you know, and
Yeah.
sometimes I'll.
Do you notice a difference when you leave the fillet with the chunk bait? You know, like you say, you're chunking it up and you leave a fillet off the side and kind of pin that fillet to the chunk. Do you notice a difference in the bite ratio than when you're just running the chunks, or is it just different size of fish that you're targeting?
So the fillet, I feel like there's more of an aggressive bite versus the chunk. You get more nibbles. You get a lot of smaller fish that just come on nibbling it. But for what I noticed, me personally, that fillet, they smack it and they just take off with it. Same with a gizzard shad. You know, if you cut a big fillet out, I guess it'd be the kind of the same effect with chicken. You know, it has that little wobbly, wiggly.
Like presentation in the water or whatever. So what's your PBs right now then for the three main species?
Flathead, I don't know, honestly. We've caught like 35, 40 pounder, maybe. It was 42 inches. The blues, was an 86 to 92 my first time. Then we just caught that. I have it on the scales at 95.46, but I had 10 inches of tail still on the ground. So could have been a 100-pound fish. And we caught that a month ago or so. So that's probably going to be our PB right now for blue, 95.
Right on. Did you get a measurement for that one, or were you in a tournament?
Yeah, so we actually caught that last hour before the tournament end. We were in fourth place when we went out there. We went out at 7 o'clock, and we ended up catching that. It was like we got it at 52. If I wasn't in such a rush, I probably could have got 54 inches out of it because I had like 2 inches of nose still over the board. Ended up measuring it at 52. It was a good fish. Then we caught like a 42 that night, and we ended up jumping to first place. So last minutes, it's pretty cool.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That must feel pretty good. Congratulations on the first place turnout, especially when you're fishing it that hard, and get two good fish to bump you up like that. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good memories.
I think channel catfish, I think my biggest one out of it, I don't know a weight, but it was like 36 inches.
That's a good channel.
Yeah, I haven't really caught too many big channels, but that was probably the longest one I've ever caught.
Yeah. Was he fat or was he skinny?
He had a good belly on him, but he was kind of in that between fat, but he was thick.
They put up a good fight, though. I love a good channel cat fight, man. I love the channel cat fishing in the springtime, especially down here, anyways.
Normally they're really small. I think y'all got the big ones up there.
Oh, we got some good channels up here, man. That's why, I get guys on and they're like, they kind of brush the channels to the side, and I'm like, hold up a minute now. First of all, that's just where I learned how to start catfishing was, I didn't even know what to do to try to even target a blue or a flathead for a long time, and before I even finally caught one or whatever. But it was, so I just started out catfishing with, channel cats, and mostly just using liver bait and stuff like that. Like, just a lot different than I fish now, I'll say. But
In 2018, me and her were out there in a little John boat, or we get in the kayak, and we were using chicken livers. I think it was 2019 is when we started. We realized what a gizzard shad was, right? The very first day we bought some bait, right, from a bait guy up the road, and he had the big jumbos. So we bought two of those, and we went out there. We caught 19 fish that day. And they were all no smaller than 20 pounds. I was like, this is crazy.
That's fun, man. And even if they were smaller than 20 pounds, it doesn't matter. A day like that of fishing, you just can't beat it, man. That's
No.
especially another reason why I like the channel cats, man. Because, you can go down and you can go on and get on them in the numbers. They don't all have to be big, man. Catching, especially if you downgrade in gear, if you go out there with some light gear and go to, target the like 1 to 5 pound channels with some light gear, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
But, anyways. No, those are some good PBs, man. So do you mentioned fishing for bass a little bit. Do you like to chase a lot of different other species out of the kayak?
Not anymore, no. Other than catfish, when I go down to Charleston, I like doing saltwater thing.
Yeah.
Freshwater wise, not really, not anymore. I was doing KBF for a while, and I got burned out of it, so I just quit.
What kind of saltwater fishing you were doing?
Reds, flounder, mainly. Caught some hammerheads. Those are fun fish. They kind of remind me of a flathead.
The hammerhead sharks.
Yeah, they hit like a flathead. They're
Man,
fun though.
do you take the hook out and everything yourself?
So I have. So yes and no. I think the first one we caught that I caught was like a 3 foot. It wasn't massive, so kind of easy.
Is it like though when you get the smaller channels, they're almost a little bit more scary because they're so damn feisty, and then they're gonna feist, how the channel cats, you'll get thin from the little ones, and they're almost worse to try to get off the hook than the bigger ones sometimes.
Yeah, just like pick the leader up and have some needle nose pliers and wiggle it out.
Yeah.
I don't think I would put it in the kayak and stick
that's
my hand
a little
there.
Bit. I was gonna say, man, that's pretty brave, dude. Like, just shark fishing in general out of the kayak is, I don't know, man. It's some stuff I wouldn't even have to think about being so far here in the middle of the Midwest, you know.
Yeah. No, I got brave with a snapper one time, and he about took my finger off.
Oh, we got snappers down here. We have my one of my buddies, Josh, caught a freaking huge snapper. He about got his finger bit off too, trying to unhook it. So.
Powerful.
Yeah, they're no joke, and we got a good amount of turtles up here. A lot more soft shell, I think, than we do snapper. Just by what I see, anyways, because I see soft shells everywhere up here. But so how'd you get into chasing the catfish from the kayak in the first place? Like, what first initially drove you to it? Was it just watching the Justin Johnson videos, or?
No, I would give Justin the credit for the tournaments. I wouldn't have known what a tournament was if it weren't for him. I guess getting in, like, catfishing in general, you know, just my spot down here, we get a lot of catfish. And when you're on those small kayaks that are very tippy and one of them hits, it's just a blast. You know, it's the adrenaline, I guess.
Heck yeah.
And especially now, it's just like you got all these boat guys, and what drives me to push harder now is just like I'm catching big fish and these boat guys are struggling. It's like I'm doing it out of a kayak. Everybody's always like, hey, how do you do that? It's like it's simple. You just pull them up.
Well, you know, a lot of times too, when you tell people you're catching big fish out of a kayak, they're thinking like your first kayak where it's 15 inches wide and you're all tippy and all that, you know, that's what people think when we tell them we're catching these giant catfish out of kayak or whatever.
I tell one guy, I was like, look, my thing's 41 inches wide, dude. It's like, it's not 30 inches wide. So we're good.
Yeah. They're stable, man. I know, like I've stood up on the seat of mine and paddled down river in pretty strong current just to kind of, cause somebody was, you know, they were running their mouth a little bit and I had to show them up.
Yeah.
No, but then shortly I saw it after that, now he's in an F12 this year. So it was all, you know, I say that in good fun. I wasn't, you know, trying to talk too much crap there on him, but.
Shoot, added the motor. It's a game changer.
Yeah, I don't have a motor yet. Eventually, hopefully someday I'll have it in my budget to get one. But also, one of the rivers that I like to fish a lot is not really deep enough for us to run motors. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of down trees and stuff like that. So, like, it's really not feasible for us to run a kayak or a motor in that river specifically. But, you know, in the big lakes and stuff like that, especially this year, I might be really considering it more since I'm going to be running a whole lot more tandem setup. And I'm really not looking forward to paddling two people around this year, but we'll see how it goes.
Sucks, dude. Especially camping trip.
I've done it a few times, but nothing like I haven't done like a full on trip in it. We just, you know, done a couple little day trips in it, here and there out of it, but we haven't done any like real big long trips or any camping trips yet on tandem setup. I've done plenty solo and it's tons of fun and I got plenty of room and for gear and everything I need on that kayak, you know, on an unlimited. So how many trips a year would you say you take, and then, you know, on average how long are your trips when you go out?
It all depends. So now I take a lot of time off of work. So right now my fishing, it's a little bit better than it normally is. Normally I fish every weekend. I'll do 12, 15 hour trips. Some days I'll go after work. I'll do like 2-3 hours maybe. But, you know, when you're working 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., it kind of sucks, you know. Fishing life sucks.
That's a rough schedule, brother.
Yeah, I told him this year, I was like, you know what, I'm not working Saturdays. I might do one or two for you, but you count me out of that. I'm doing tournaments. I'm trying to do a little bit better. You know, I got the score to deal with Mad Cat, so I got something to prove now.
Right on, man. Well, you keep putting up the fish you're putting up. I don't think you have too much of a problem, especially catching the numbers you're catching, man. 15 in a day or 15 in a weekend even is a lot
Used
of
to be
fish.
lucky 3 weekend. This last year, that's how it was. And I just all I did was change it up.
That little bit of change up though can be the game changer, you know, make all the difference for you. So do you a lot of traveling, you know, travel very far to go fishing, or you mostly stay pretty local?
So my fishing spot now, still the same body of water, still at Catawba River, but I'm probably fishing 30 miles up from my house now. 20 miles up from my house.
Okay, are you right on the river?
So the river's literally maybe 300 yards behind my house.
Oh, nice.
So my stretch, we have two dammed up areas that the Catawba runs into. They're still rivers, they're not lakes or anything, but I have so the stretch behind my house is like 2 miles long. Then you got a dam, then you got a spillway. So you got a dam on one end and a spillway on one end, which that's about to be a state park. Sometimes I like Santee. I'll go to Santee once in a while. You know, when I go visit my parents, because they're down there in Charleston, they're like 30 minutes from Santee, and they're where they live out in the area in Charleston. Love Santee. It just gets rough out there sometimes. That's
Yeah.
probably the Santee.
So how does preparing going to Santee differ from doing one of your out, you know, your backyard outings?
Same. I just load the kayak up and go.
Yeah.
You know. That or I'll just drive there and I'll get the Hobies. Sometimes I only have to bring,
Okay.
which I'll take the Hobies out there because I don't know, I like pedaling out there because when you get those big waves, I feel more comfortable in that Hobie. So I haven't experienced big bodies of water in the new canoe yet, so I'm not sure how it's going to do. I'm sure it'll be just fine.
Okay. That was going to be one of my questions to see how it's done in those situations. But if you do have a, you're saying you have a lot of different kayaks to be able to kind of maneuver around the way you want to, especially when you're traveling, it's kind of nice to have different kayaks to be able to, you know,
Yeah.
keep one set up the way you want and one set up to be able to go out and do some outings that are, you know, a little bit different than what you would normally do. So.
Shoot, if my truck was fixed, I would probably definitely travel more, but right now I'm car topping. Car topping, that's not the funnest thing.
Yeah, I can. I still put. I got a Jeep Compass, and I load my Unlimited into the back of that thing and strap the hatch down. So, because I tried to car top it on the Jeep, and I broke my antenna, man.
No. Hey, you
Yeah.
gotta do what you right. Then
What's that?
you gotta do what you gotta do to, right?
Yeah, no, I'm getting on the water one way or another.
Yeah.
So, do you have a least favorite place to fish then?
Lakes. I'd say any lake. Not a big lake guy.
Just
That's
like that moving water.
Yeah, I like anchoring down a lot. So at least when I got current, it keeps me straight. Unlike lakes, you know, a little bit of breeze, you're going in circles.
Yeah. What's your favorite time of year to be out there on the water? Going after them.
February.
When is least amount of boaters?
No, February is for some reason always been my best month.
Okay.
I always catch my biggest fish in February or April or something like that. It's one of those 2 months. Normally it's just February.
Well, it's not a bad time of year too, especially, you know, like I said, with the whole I haven't played. There are probably a whole lot less boaters out during that time, but it helps that the big fish are hungry then, especially
Well,
in a, you know.
normally my fishing areas, I see zero boats.
Okay.
I rarely ever see a boat. And no, like normally my best times, you know, I just like the cold weather. You know, I don't like summertime. I don't know, something about being cold. I just like it.
Yeah, a little bit easier to warm up than it is to cool down. Could always put on some extra layers to stay warm. Definitely changes the game fishing in a kayak though when you're in that cold weather. Do you have a favorite story or memory that comes to mind while being on the water fishing? I know you just caught that big monster, so I have a feeling that might be the story we're getting to hear, but you never know, man. All the years you spent out there, bet you have a lot of stories that popping right up.
I do have one, but I can't share that one.
We can. This rating, there's no rating on here. We can share whatever story you want to share.
All right, so we were me and my old lady, we were out there on the kayak one time. We were what was on the I think it was on the Feel Free, and she was on that the Native. So we were out there. I can't share that one.
He's, I can't, all right, man, whatever you're comfortable sharing, I should say.
My man, I don't know when she reeled that big fish in. It's proud of her. I'm just gonna share that one. That was a good moment because it's probably the actually only fish that we spent 15, 20 minutes reeling in. It was super late, dark, and next thing you know, that freaking bait clicker just zooms off. Like it's like a freaking freight train just smacked and it's gone, right? So I hand her the rod and she hooks it and she's like, "Oh, it's a dink, it's a dink." I said, "I don't know that rod tip, it's going down." As soon as it's getting closer, it's fighting more. And it's going all the way into the water, right? So I'm like, "All right, just play around with it, play around with it." It gets stuck on a rock. I'm like, "All right." So it's stuck. We hit a tree. All right, that fish is gone. So I grabbed the pole, kind of pull up a little bit. I was like, "Oh, yeah, we're stuck." I said, "Here, it's your fish. Pop it off." She ends up pulling up. Fish gets unstuck. Thought the fish got off. Fish is actually swimming towards us. And she's reeling fast, fast. She's like, "Okay, I got off." As soon as that thing like tightened up, boom, right under the kayak it went. And when I talk about that thing went straight under the kayak, she almost went with it. That
Oh,
rock
did he go
hit.
up? Were you guys fishing down or up? Did he go up river or down river?
So when we got it unstuck, it went back up river, I would say. Yeah, it went back up river towards us. And as soon as that tension hit, he went straight under. I don't know, it's that was a different excitement on her face, I guess, that night.
Yeah. Is it kind of difficult with having both you guys in the kayak since, like, she got hit on that jerk? Would it almost flip, roll both of you? Or were you able to kind of like counterbalance it back since you're both in the kayak,
Is that I don't know. It doesn't really. I don't really feel a difference.
Yeah.
To me, I get more help, I would say. You know, she can hold stuff. I have to measure a fish, so it helps me out a lot. You know, I can help her, show her kind of the ropes of what she needs to do when she does stuff by herself. I don't think there's a problem with it. I'm 100% confident we're not going to flip in any situation, honestly, but. You know, there's still times, can't always think that way, but
Yeah, no, I mean, things happen out there, but I was just curious on like, how that works, like, with having, a second person in that stability and being able to kind of counterbalance weight and stuff. And I assume most of the time you guys are a little doing anchor fishing and stuff like that, or do you ever kind of drift or float while you?
so in-person tournaments, I'll do a lot of drift fishing. But normally when we're up river, I'll throw the anchor out. I go to my holes. If I see a big fish on my graph or whatever, I'll anchor up on that fish and see if he's gonna eat it or not.
Yeah.
But that one story, that favorite memory, it involves a gar. I'll go there. It involves a gar that literally
And
came.
you're gonna leave everybody just wandering and wanting it the whole time. But man, why didn't you get them to tell us?
No, we were just anchored up, and this gar just in the situation we was in, and the gar. This is when we didn't use bait clickers, and this gar almost ripped the rod out of my rod holder, right? And we have both kayaks tied off together, and this freaking gar spins us all the way around 360, and just starts zip and drag. But the position we were in, I can't say, but. That was probably by far the best. It was just funny. It was a funny situation.
That's hilarious. Was it a, I assume, pretty big gar to be able to spin the both the boats then?
Thing was probably tall as me. A
Dang.
freaking.
That's a fun memory.
It was.
So do you like, you know, you have lots of experience out there. You got anything that's ever happened that kind of scared you then? I know you said you feel confident in the, you know, in the boat you're in now or whatever, but in the years past, or even in the boat you're in now, I mean, things can happen. I even in my new canoe, I've had some situations where I was like, whoa, you know, and looking back on it, you know, things can happen out there. Do you have anything kind of sketchy ever happen or a scary situation? Maybe even involving, I don't know, animals or other people or anything?
There's a couple. I would say mine personally by myself when I was doing a KBF tournament. I had a freaking water moccasin jump in the kayak with me.
How'd you
It
stay upright on that one?
I froze. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to move or anything. So I sat there. I looked at him. He kind of crawled on my foot and he looked at me. So I froze and waited for him to take off. He just did his stuff.
So
Between that, gator chased us one time. We were at Santee. We were at one little spot. We were craft fishing. It's called the Duck Pond. And there was a massive gator. And that joker, he just kept following us. He would not stop.
no, thank you. No
Yeah.
gators, no sir.
No. Probably those two. One of those two are probably the worst. I don't know which one's the worst, but.
That's insane. Yeah, those are definitely pretty scary. Do you try to like do you do anything to try to prevent anything like the animals, critters, or anything? Do you like
Not really, no. I mean,
no?
I get chased by beavers a lot.
I would say like that's like the worst I gotta deal with. I gotta like paddle off some beavers or something. That ain't like nothing like a moderate water moccasin crawling over my foot, you know, like. Man, that's a little bit scary. I mean, like, we've had some bats, you know, they bats thinking that your line or bugs or whatever flying into your line or hitting you or whatever. And I had a buddy, you know, one time he was posted up under a tree. We were night fishing on a river and he about got some raccoons jumped on him out of the tree. So, like, we've had some stuff like that, you know. And then one time you know, we were camping on a bank and we found a bunch of footprints in the morning around our kayaks, and so they were clearly like looking in on us and everything, but we were sleeping. So,
Yeah, y'all had something for them.
yeah,
Hey, they're not cute and cuddly, man. They'll get you. They're savage.
no, I don't really like them, man. But I know some guys think that they're real friendly or whatever, or try to like make pets out of them and stuff. Like, you guys are
Think
crazy.
that beavers are freaking them jokers. They're savages too, man. That's I
I
shot.
don't. They make me nervous, man.
I shot a beaver one time and he was still alive and that joker smacked me on the leg with that tail.
Dang.
That nuts. The amount of
That's
force they
well.
them
That's what I'm
jokers.
saying. They'll come up right next to us and freaking, you know, tail slap right next to me in the water and disappear. So that's about the close. I don't think I've had a bee, and I've had a beaver on the bank, real close to me. But I had him, you know, come in the water and disappear like right as I'm coming by his den and
Yeah.
stuff. And he was probably the biggest beaver I ever seen. But like, other than that, I haven't had to like bat, you know, battle one off or whatever. But I have a buddy that's here that has had beavers try to get in his kayak while he was fishing, and he's had
I'll have two holes in my kayak. I got.
to.
I will put two rounds in that joker.
Yeah. For sure. That's why I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm pretty lucky that the situations have turned out pretty good for me. Like, I haven't gotten nothing too scary yet. I mean, I don't think anyways. I mean, some people might be a little bit more worried, but we're all good. It's all in good fun, right?
Yeah, the adrenaline is amazing, you know.
Gotta risk
Satisfying.
it for the biscuits. So you do a lot of overnight fishing then?
When we do our camping trips, we do a lot of those. We like camping a lot. I'll fish all night. She might go to bed or she might fish with me.
You guys bank out then normally when you do them overnights like that?
Normally she'll do the bank fishing. I'll go somewhere on the kayak.
Okay.
I'm not really a big bank guy,
Yeah.
but we'll set up some rod holders on the bank. I'll throw them out or something. Go on my way.
Yeah, we gotta be able to move around a little bit. Get a little too impatient trying to sit in one spot and wait for them all night.
Yeah. Well, if I sit still, I'm gonna pass out, so
Well, working from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. See why.
yeah.
And I'm surprised you already ain't falling asleep. Them new canoes is comfortable enough. I do actually fall asleep in mine sometimes.
I took me a little nap today. Luckily I was off today. We're on a no overtime policy this week, so I hit my overtime. I had the day off, so that's good.
Heck yeah.
I'm enjoying myself till Monday.
There you go, man. Hell yeah.
Dude, the week, that's it.
Like, hurry up and get your 49. I'm gonna wear 10s then. So how does preparing for those overnights, kind of, do you usually just keep everything loaded up in the kayak, or do you have to prepare and get yourself kind of ready for them overnights? I know some people have to like charge their batteries, make sure they check this, check that, They got like a whole checklist they go down. Especially with that night fishing, man, some things can happen. You got to be ready for every kind of situation.
Dude, I'm gonna be straight up with you. I'm the most unprepared person you'll ever meet. I don't plan or anything, but no, I think right now my preparation for that, charge my battery, make
Yeah.
sure it's working, figure out how I'm getting all the camping stuff or whatever on the kayak, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Try to keep it simple.
I hear you, man. Shit, I don't know though, man, because one of my good buddies, one of my real good fishing and hunting buddies, he's about the most unprepared person I could think of in my entire life, and I have to like literally text him to make sure he's got some stuff and everything, and then he'll still forget the stuff that I texted him. So like when I go out with trips, I gotta prepare double because I got I know he ain't gonna remember to bring it all.
I forgot my paddle. I forgot.
I've done that before too, I can admittedly say.
Done it all. I could probably forget my kayak if I'm not thinking about it.
I haven't done that one yet. I know Kayak Mike's done it, I think, three separate times, he said. So that'd be a tough one. But no, I've definitely like left the PFD or like the paddle or something, and luckily in those situations, the person I was with was able to provide a backup. But yeah, now I try to stay prepared, man. Like usually I keep like a whole, like here's like I'm saying, a checklist of stuff or whatever, at least in the beginning of the season. Like once I get all my stuff kind of lined up the way it's going to go for the rest of the season, most of my gear usually stays pretty well packed up and ready to go at all times. And then I just kind of like make sure, like you're saying, recharge a couple headlamps or something like that. I don't got no internal wiring or batteries to worry about yet. No fish finders, no trolling motors or anything. So I don't really have to worry about charging up batteries like that just yet. But other than that, making sure that food's packed up and whatever. You got any safety tips for anybody that maybe might want to try and go out fishing at night? Maybe kind of a little nervous to try and start doing it.
Swear PFD, man. Swear them. Other than that, just be aware of your surroundings, I guess.
For
You know,
sure.
I don't deal with a whole lot of boat guys, so I mean, other than PFDs and guess lighting and stuff,
Yeah.
I'd be.
Still always a good idea to keep your head on a swivel out there at all times. Kind of be like you said, be aware of your surroundings, know what's going on, because being caught off guard is probably some of the sketchiest part of the whole situation, and that's when your reactions don't necessarily kick in the way that you think that they should, because nobody can plan or train to be caught off guard. So. You said you do quite a bit of solo trips throughout the year, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Doing how many a year would you say there are solo compared to like your, you know, when you're going out tandem or when you're going with some buddies and stuff?
So I do tandem every other weekend because he works every other Saturday. Saturday she's not working. I'm out on the water Saturday and Sunday. A number wise, I honestly I don't know a number. It's a lot. If I have the time, I'm going out. I don't care if it's for 30 minutes to an hour. I'm gonna find a way to go out. As long as I'm doing tournaments, I'm going out.
Heck yeah. If someone were to ask you why you chase catfish from a plastic boat, what would your response to them be?
The adrenaline, I guess, and just to say I can do it.
Yeah.
People think it's impossible, but it's not. It's
Without,
that adrenaline you get, it's an addiction.
for sure, the tug is the drug. That's what me and Jesse were saying last night, man. There's nothing else like it.
No.
Which, by the way, he told me to keep it in mind that the whole time that you're in here doing your interview, that he's gonna be out there fishing. He just wanted me to make sure I mentioned that for you.
Hey, I already told you to check for tomorrow. I said, please save time and go ahead and give it to
I already told him to write it up, and he ain't even got to worry about showing up the fish.
me.
That's funny. That's what I said. I told him, you know, whatever he wants to say, get it said tonight because, you know, Ronnie's not here to defend himself. And now tomorrow, he's going to be able to say whatever he wants to say. And there's nothing new. You won't even know about it for a little while. So.
Nah, Jesse's a cool dude, man. He's a good guy.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun on our show. Hopefully, I'll be getting both your guys' episodes uploaded pretty close together. I know I slacked off last month and didn't get anything done between scheduling and, you know, personal life stuff and things like that. But I'm gonna make up for it here, and then moving forward, I'm gonna try to do a little better. But things are definitely heating up with the fishing and summertime adventures going on and. So it's definitely been a challenge to make sure I schedule everything accordingly and get and stay on top of things. But so you got any big plans for this upcoming season you want to share?
Not really. I'm just
Other than catching another 100-pounder?
I honestly I just want to do more camping trips this year and stuff. I like the tournaments. I want to keep doing them. To me, they keep seeing like they're dying off or whatever, at least for big fish. Hopefully they make a comeback, because right now I'm just doing one. I hope the online catfish tournaments bring their national big fish back, because I think right now they just have it with like Ohio and Kentucky and somebody else. I don't want to keep saying states. I'm not 100% what it was, but I don't know, it just kind of disappeared. And you know, the king cat, whatever it was, it just faded away. So like this year's kind of bummed out, but you know, I'm doing the fishing unleashed, but it is what it is. It's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely been a tough year for some of the tournaments. I know my, you know, I used to run a small local series here that I had to take a step back and say it's taken a little bit of a break this year as well. And then Justin was running a nationwide one that was a big fish one too for a little while there, but he also had to take a step back, take a break there. So it's definitely been a tough thing. It's pretty cool that Kayak Mike can still provide what he does. I know that he puts that slot in there to try to make it competitive that way across nationwide for people, you know, because some people are going to fish a little bit tougher waters and having that, you know, I think it's a 28-inch slot limit, or it's 28 or 30, I can't remember, but you know, having
29.
that is 29,
29.75.
75. Okay. Yeah. So, but you know, having that slot in there kind of just keeps it a little bit more competitive for those guys across the nation. Because you know, when I actually first started out, I was fishing against you got all you guys in the TCKA about down 5, 6 years ago now, and you guys were just kicking the crap out of me. Nonstop, just beating the crap out of me, which it was still fun. Don't get me wrong. I love them tournaments and everything like that. But I was, so new into even chasing catfish and stuff like that. I had a lot to learn and a ways to go. And that's partially why I started the local scene to kind of try to build up this Nebraska scene. 'Cause we actually don't have a whole lot of guys. We have a small group of guys, but not a whole lot of guys down here. So that was my whole goal, was to try to grow the scene here in Nebraska there for a little while.
Dude, y'all were throwing some big fish on them. I seen some numbers when I first found out about it. I didn't know it was nationwide. I reached out to him and I was like, "Is that just for Nebraska?" And he's like, "No, it's for everybody. It's, I let everybody in it." I was just seeing like some 54-inchers and
Oh,
52.
yeah.
Daggone, man. It's like, where are these fish coming from?
Oh, we
Ain't
got some good fish. We got some good. They're hard to catch down here, though. They're
yeah.
definitely hard to catch down here. For sure.
Just nuts. I think that one chick that I seen, she is like 54. I was like, God almighty.
Yeah, that's Michaela. That's Justin's girlfriend.
Yeah, that thing was massive.
Yes, huh? Yep. Oh, yeah. She had a pretty good season last year, and she took that fish. I think Justin, hers was, I think, 53, and Justin was the 54 or whatever. Because I think Justin beat me for big fish last year. Like I said, he was doing the similar thing, but his whole tournament was, it was the biggest of each species, one biggest of each species. So it was your biggest channel, your biggest flathead, and your biggest blue for the season. And then there,
Bill.
yeah, and then there was still the big fish for each subspecies as well. And I actually took big fish for channel, for the channel species section. It was probably a 30-pound channel. It was a 20, 24 and a half inch channel, or 30, sorry, 34 and a half inch channel. It was like 34 and a half, and like you're saying, trying to fight that half inch measurement for picture wise, I probably could have got 35 out of it, but I scored it at 34 and a half.
Big channel though.
Oh, it was a big channel, man. I got the it was kind of, I held it all up on, big trophy picture, big hero shot. It was a lot of fun. But no, like I said, our channels get pretty big down here. And then the waters for the blues and the flatheads, there's like, we don't have that many waters to target them, but if you can find the spots, we got some pretty good fish here in Nebraska that are hiding. So it's
Yeah.
definitely competitive and fun. We got a pretty good, like I said, we got a pretty good group of anglers down here that are pretty skilled at what they do. I know we got Chris Rombach that fishes out of the kayak. We got Raymond Polson that fishes out of the kayak that put up pretty good fish. And then we had Justin Wierick and his girlfriend put up pretty good fish. And my buddy Josh Murdoch will catch one every once in a while. It's a pretty good one. So.
Yeah, me and Chris, we became online buddies. I think I met him on TikTok.
Oh, did
Yeah, he liked all my stuff and he sent me a message and we clicked from there. He seems like a pretty cool guy.
Chris is
So
a
we're
fun guy, man. He's a good dude to fish with. He's actually the one that was there to take my hero shots for my PB for the blue. It's on my profile picture there.
nice.
Yeah, he was able to take some pictures and a little bit of footage for me. And he's a good dude, man. We usually try to get out a couple times a year together. He's a lot of fun to fish with. And that was the guy I was telling you about. Like when I was telling that story, he was talking a bunch of crap. So I stood up in my seat and started paddling down river. It was Chris. And so he was like, "Oh, that's messed up," because he was stuck sitting in his kayak, couldn't even do his 360 seat. But now he's sitting high in his F12, all rigged out. So. What would you consider your best piece of gear rigged up on your kayak?
Best piece of gear.
Yeah, you got that sweet rod rack in the back. I know you're running a trolling motor. I'm assuming you got graphs just like everybody else besides me.
You
So.
know, I don't even a lot. I've hardly once in a blue moon I'll pull it out, but I probably say my rod racks, my rod
Yeah.
holder. That's definitely.
Yeah, it looks sweet, man. And like I said, you got the whole artistic thing going on. You want to talk about it a little bit? What's it made out of?
So it's galvanized stainless steel, just some crap we had laying around at work. I just threw a 15-minute fix together, got the welder out, and popped it all together, and boom.
Is it C channel then, or?
Basically, yeah, it's kind of like a C channel.
So did you have to fabricate the pieces, or were they already just in a scrap pile? You had to cut them and weld them, basically.
So I got some scrap pieces. I just cut me out a bracket that would work. Nothing fancy. Spray painted it. I tacked the railing or whatever to the brackets, measured it up, and then I got me some rod holders and just put them on there.
Yeah, and are those just the standard bases that come with the fish bites there?
Yeah.
What stem length you running on that? Is that the 4-inch length or the 6-inch?
I'm pretty sure it's the 4, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the 4.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, that's a sweet setup. Almost like, you know, the purple and the blue kind of, or the purple and the green kind of remind me of like Joker almost, you know, Joker from Batman.
Love purple and green.
Yeah.
They got Purple Unlimited. I want it so bad.
They got the Purple Unlimited, right? Yeah, I think that's a limited edition too that they're running on that. I don't know if that's going to be a forever color or not.
I don't know. I'd love to get my hands on it.
I think they got the green one now too, and they didn't have that initially when they came out. And that's originally way back when I first started looking at the F12s. I liked the really old school lime green ones.
Yeah.
But
no, there's a solid black one. I would love to have a solid black one too, but I've never seen.
Have you seen the Black Widow from
Bonafide?
Yeah, Bonafide runs that Black Widow edition with the black and red pinstripes and stuff.
Doesn't Austin have that one?
I'm not sure, man, but I've seen lots of pictures, like not necessarily on any one specific profile. I've seen like lots of pictures come through on Facebook, different, you know, profiles. And also I've seen one, I think, go through, there's a rigging page called Yak It, I think, and I think they have a Black Widow on there that he does some pretty cool stuff. What's that?
Yeah, it's called Yak It.
Yeah, it's called Yak It, and he does some pretty cool rigging, like custom rigging stuff. He's got like actuator rod holders and stuff with like butt remotes to like lower them down horizontal or vertical, and like he's got some pretty cool stuff. It's pretty wildly custom, and everything is like custom colors. Like I don't know where he gets his materials from or whatever, but like I've watched, you know, he has short little like short clips of him like routering out pieces and making custom pieces for different boats and stuff like that. So it's, and I'm pretty sure I've seen one of the Black Widows roll through his page before that he did some work on. So it's like they're definitely a like real photo, you know, a good photo op boat, you know, taking some cool pictures.
They're freaking sick.
Yeah, you know, I'd wonder though how they would, like, if it would just wash out if you're taking pictures at night, completely look like you're just sitting on the water holding the cat, you know, a fish with some rod sticking out behind you or something like that. But, and they're pretty sweet looking. I think the Bonafide in general is a nice looking boat. But again, like, you know, the weight and the price range was just a little bit outside of what I was looking for when I started to look for my upgrade.
Yeah, they're a little on the pricey side.
Have you tried out a bunch of different styles of rod holders, or how'd you land with the fish bites? How'd you decide on those?
Well, they were cheaper. I think my local shop, they got them for like $20 a piece. I still use them, but I use the Smackdowns. I like them because they're pretty universal. I can put two rods in them, so. This fish bite I bought for style, I guess, the color.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing, like you mentioned, you said Smackdown. I did run those before I switched to fish bite, and that's the one thing that I do miss a little bit is being able to run a second rod out of my Smackdowns. And the only thing I do like about the fish bite specifically that I don't necessarily see a whole lot in the you know, the metal style rod holders is that they run the main part of the body in 3/8 rod, and then your stem is still in 1/2 inch rod. And I don't see that very often. I know it sounds kind of crazy that that would make a difference, but like even those couple ounces of difference from running 3/8 rod and just the main body, I just think that, you know, the Smackdowns are sweet, but they're just so much more bulky than those fish bites. And on a kayak, I like being just a little bit more, you know, having that little bit, especially when you start, you know, multiple rod holders, you run it, start running, you know, 4 or 5 or whatever, those couple ounces a piece will make up to end up being, you know, a decent amount of weight. Every pound counts when you're paddling,
Oh
man.
yeah. Absolutely.
And like I said, I'm still in the paddling ages, so. What would you have, best piece of advice you would have for newbies?
Best piece of advice. Don't worry about being a YouTuber. Just come in strong. Don't worry about all this fancy gear. Be you. You know, you be you, you'll make it eventually. Or if you're just out to have fun, just do it.
Right on, man. I like that.
Do it.
I always like to ask everybody, you know, a lot of people have like a weird little fishing snack that they like to have when they go fishing. They bring it every time they get, make sure they have this packed up in the boat. What's your fishing snack, man?
Well, it's gonna be Kayak Mike's, but it's not Dave's. I'd have to say the dill pickle, Biggs, sunflower seeds.
Man, and don't that make a mess in your boat?
Nah, they get fed to the fish.
Okay. Say, so, man, that would make it if be spitting them out in the boat and eventually start to stink.
Yeah,
My boat already stinks bad enough as it is.
between that and beef jerky, I'd say it's top two. Yeah,
Yeah,
that'd be it.
right on. Hell yeah. I don't, it's one of those fun little questions I like to ask for people, you know, fishing and snacker. I've always liked having this extra Snickers bar packed away for some reason. Like, I don't know, the chocolate and the caramel, I don't know. Especially when it's hot, dude, pulling out a nice cold Snickers bar.
Mine would probably melt it if I brought a Snicker bar.
Yeah, no, I can't make sure I keep it in the cooler. Not the bait cooler though. We're gonna clarify that.
Yeah, not the bait cooler.
Not the bait cooler. That's his own separate cooler. We got the food cooler and we got the bait cooler. Those are two different things, and neither one gets crossed ever.
Could add flavor though. Just keep that in mind.
I don't know, man. Once the bait goes in that cooler, it is now a bait cooler from the rest of time. That's about the only thing I think. But you got any bucket list trips for kayak? You know, you want to take a kayak on a bucket list trip anywhere, any type of fish that you want to catch, maybe a person that you want to take out someday on the, you know.
You know, I'd actually love to go on one of Robert Fields' field trips. You know, like the you know who Robert Fields is, right? You ever
I
seen it?
personally, I don't know who Robert Fields is. It actually, who, what is he?
He's a big YouTuber guy. He does like saltwater stuff. He is, I think, in Panama or whatever. He catch some big roosters and all that. I
Okay.
love trips. That or an alligator gar.
Right on.
Gar, so just to catch, we don't have alligator gars, I don't think, so
Yeah.
probably be able to catch one of those on the kayak. That would be freaking awesome.
Dude, that would be a lot of fun. Be a
Yeah.
little bit nerve-wracking, but I think that would be a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I see people catch gar, they always pop the line or whatever. I'm just like, I'm not over here grabbing them by my hand and picking them up. They're gentle giants.
Yeah, but when it's 12 foot long, man, and like 300 pounds,
Oh,
like
what?
that.
It still would be nuts. That'd be a sleigh ride for sure.
Dude, I think that would be incredible, but it definitely would be some. I'd be getting one of them, like. You know, I do. I used to have a pair of pliers because I, you know, at one point I wanted to try to catch pike and muskie, which I never ended up being able to do. But I had like one of them like mechanic pliers that were like 12-inch needle nose or whatever, so you could like reach down in the engine block and get to something or whatever. But I have a pair of those, probably be like trying to pop it out like that. Oh man, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. Bucket list trips are always something I like, you know, keep. I got a couple of them on mine, I think. I think I'd like to try to visit down to like Snake River or something, go catch some sturgeon, big old sturgeon out of the kayak. I think it would be pretty fun. But
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
again, that's getting back into that cold water fishing and can be pretty dangerous. You got to be prepared. That's a whole nother level right there, man.
Yeah.
Well, you got any final thoughts or shout outs, or you want to, you know, plug any sponsors, anything like that? Anything you want to bring back around from earlier in the conversation?
Just keep it real, man. Just, be yourself. if somebody will see eventually, I guess,
Yeah.
it does. Being a YouTuber, though, I will say that it's like, if you're not a YouTuber, you feel like a nobody in this industry, though.
Well,
So,
even if they don't see you, man, screw them, right? You're out there doing you, and as long as you're having fun, that's what matters, man.
no, just people, some people come in, they just want all the fancy stuff, spend thousands of dollars on the gear. You don't have to have all that. You can buy a $100 kayak, $20 fishing rods. It's going to catch fish.
Yeah, they don't know what kind of kayak you're floating out of or what rod you're using. They don't care about none of that stuff. And like I said earlier, it's about what gets you on the water. But no, hey man, I really appreciate you carving out some time for me tonight. I know I've been trying to, I've been bugging you, trying to get you to come on here for a little while and, spend some time record this episode. I had a lot of fun talking to you tonight, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you getting me out of my comfort zone.
Hey, that's all right. Like I said, man, it's supposed to be real bit laid back and loose. Maybe next time we'll get you on here with maybe Jesse and a couple other guys, and we'll do like a whole round table theme where we have a bunch of guys can kind of chop it up and talk shit to each other and
Hey, that'd be cool.
see where that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Right on, man. Well, like I said, stay safe out there on the water, man. Keep putting up those big fish. I'll be watching what you're doing, that's for sure. Again, can't say thank you enough for carving out the time. I know how hard it was to schedule it up with me. So, I'll be talking to you soon, man. Hit me up anytime you want to talk catfishing or anything.
All right, man. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, have a good night.
All right.
That's it from the Catawba Backwoods River Rival. Make sure you follow the Kayaking and Catfish Roundtable on Facebook for an announcement on the release of the June episode and the next installment of the Kayak Camping Series. Hopefully, you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share across your socials. See you at the next roundtable meeting.